Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 21st day of August 2019. And I'm thrilled to have on the program today for the very first time Brent Ward. Brent is a former Army 82nd Airborne paratrooper and Gulf War veteran, and he is currently the Director of Development at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. Today we are going to be addressing Christians in the military, one veteran's testimony and counsel. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Brent Ward.
Thank you, Chris. I'm really glad to be on. Real blessing.
I'm going to immediately give our listeners our email address if you have any questions. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, C-H-R-I-S-A-R-N-Z-E-N @gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your questions involve a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And, before we even go into your personal testimony, and as we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, where our first-time guests give a summary of their salvation testimony, including the kind of religious atmosphere, if any, they were raised in, and what providential circumstances were raised up in your life to draw you to our sovereign Lord and save you. But before that, tell our listeners who have not yet heard anything about IRBS Theological Seminary, tell them something about this wonderful seminary, which happens to be a key sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Yes, IRBS Theological Seminary is a full residential seminary founded on confessional Reformed Baptist distinctives. We are established in a training men in the work of spreading the gospel around the world. We have some degree programs. Our Master of Divinity program is a 110-hour program designed to be completed in residence. We do offer a Master's of Art Religion. That degree is not intended for preparation for gospel ministry, but we offer that as well. And then we have a certificate program. In fact, I'm actually registered as a student for the certificate program. It's a 16-hour program designed to supplement previous ministerial studies. And so we have some great things going on. Registration is amongst us. In fact, our first class actually begins tomorrow with Dr. Renahan in preaching through the Psalms. And so we're really excited about that one-credit hour intensive tomorrow and Friday.
Great. And for any more details, you could go to irbsseminary.org, irbsseminary.org. And don't forget, there's two S's back-to-back in the middle of that URL. Very often when there are two letters, the two of the same letters back-to-back in a URL, people may forget one of those letters. So it's irbsseminary.org. Well, let's now continue with, as I said earlier, your personal salvation testimony. What kind of religious atmosphere were you raised in, if any? And how did our sovereign Lord draw you to himself and save you?
Yes, thank you. So I was, to be confessionally Reformed Baptist now is truly the kindness of the Lord. I was raised in the charismatic movement, and in particular, not just the charismatic movement, but if you are familiar with the Word of Faith movement.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I've had Kosti Hinn on this program, who is the nephew of Benny Hinn, and Kosti is now a Reformed Baptist and cessationist pastoring in Arizona.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
So, my father was a charismatic pastor, and so I grew up around the church. It was all about the experience, and I believe that you'll find that that is still the case. But during this time, we're talking about the 70s, and so it's nothing for us to be in someone's home or people being in our home and capturing some kind of experience. And so while I was, they had a sincere desire, I would say, to experience God. I would say that it was anemic in the sense that it wasn't very deep in regards to looking at the character, nature, or work of Christ. It had more to do with how I was feeling at the time and what kind of experience I could have. That makes sense.
Yes.
And so, I never really made a profession of faith during that time. I did a little bit later on, but for the most part, in terms of a truly surrendering to Christ, it was much later. What I did is I was walking in a lot of rebellion at a young age, and every young man, when he is in rebellion against his parents, and in particular his strong father, what they want to do is they want to join the military. And so, you know, if I'm not going to be obedient to my dad, I'll go and join the army. That's not the wisest choice, but I thought it was a good idea, and my dad was more than happy to help me sign up. So, I went into the army. I was a Ford observer.
Now, just out of curiosity, let me just interrupt you for a moment. Did you have other family members in the military?
So my dad was ex-Navy. He was a Navy guy, and so I went Army. My grandfather was a World War II vet. So my father was a Vietnam veteran. My dad was a Vietnam veteran. My grandfather was World War II veteran. And so I did have a background with having service to my country being a really big deal. I thought it was a great idea just to get away from the house. You know, every rebellious young man probably needs to go in the army. So that being said, it was a quick time. It was an interesting time. Like I said, my MOS was I was a Ford observer. Basically, I was the redheaded stepchild of the artillery, and that we would actually be the ones that would be attached to infantry or cavalry, and we would call in the artillery, either being, you know, mortar fire artillery, close air support through F-111s with the Copperhead missiles, or naval gunfire. So we were the guys that had the radios and would call that in. And my first duty station was actually in Korea, and after airborne school. So they do all the training, they sent me to jump school, and then send me to a leg unit in Korea. Didn't make much sense to me at the time, but hey, that's what happened. And then after that 1 year, I went to the 82nd there at Fort Bragg in North Carolina, which is about 2.5 hours from my hometown there in Wilmington area. And it was a real quick stint. We did several different training exercises, a couple police actions, and then the Gulf War, and we'll get into that a little bit. During that entire time, I was not serving the Lord. In fact, you know, when we get into it a little bit in detail, I don't know if I saw a really good Christian witness, and I know that other people's experience is quite different than my own, but for me, I saw a lot of people make professions of faith, but in terms of what I would consider true surrender to Christ. I don't know if I saw consistent biblical Christianity during my military stint. So I was hardened after the Gulf War, got out, didn't really want to stay in, went back to my hometown in Wilmington, and honestly, my dad probably had probably one of the wisest things that he could have asked me to do. He said, listen, he said, I want you to be able just to make a reconnection with your family, with us, with your brothers. I have two brothers that are younger than I. One is 9 years younger and the other 11 years younger. And so, you know, this puts me, you know, I'm about 22 years old. And I did. I wanted to make that connection again with my family. He says, look, will you just consider attending the church on Sundays and then after, you know, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, just, you know, spend time with us, with the family. And I said, sure, I can do that. And you know, I would go. I was hit and miss for quite some time. I would say that my rebellion against God got greater and greater. I was an angry man. A lot of bitterness. A lot of things going on in terms of just mental anguish, not realizing the Lord had me right where He wanted me the entire time. A friend of my dad's was a pastor, and he was ex special forces, and he was close by, and I appreciated him. He was a kind of a tell it like it is kind of guy. And he had suggested that I read a book of the Bible. And so he suggested that I read the Gospel of John, and I agreed to do so. And so I cut my teeth on the Gospel of John, and Chris, it wrecked me.
Did you say wrecked? Did you say wrecked?
It did. The Gospel of John absolutely wrecked me when you come into contact with the Word of God, and it really. In this manner, for me, in terms of these, you know, these statements of deity, of Christ and who He was and what He did, and I mean, and I believe that John makes it very clear in terms of his own purpose statement. You know, there at the end of John, you know, he no doubt was going to tell you who Christ was, and so. I cut my teeth on that, started still attending fairly regularly, and I believe that sometime in there, you know, I wouldn't say that we held, well, the church held to decisional regeneration. I didn't go and walk down an aisle. I will say this, that at some point during that time that I felt tremendous conviction over my sin and brokenness over who I was. And absolutely knew that I needed Christ. And so at some point, I believe that the Lord awakened me and quickened me and was very kind to me and showed me a tremendous amount of mercy during that time. And so from the book of John, after I completed that, I decided I was going to start reading the Bible. And it just started in Genesis. And, you know, when you get into Genesis and Exodus, you know, those are great, you know, wonderful stories. I had to kind of plot through some of the others. You know, when you start getting in Leviticus and Deuteronomy for a young guy, it was pretty tough. But you know, over time, I believe that the Lord just showed His kindness in regards to changing me and my desire to surrender. I'll use that term because I didn't know what else to do other than just to surrender wholeheartedly to Him. The gentleman that I brought up to you, that was a friend of my father's, that was a pastor. Although he was a charismatic, he wasn't quite as charismatic as we were. If I could say he was more charismatic with a seatbelt, some of the reading that he recommended was Calvin and Spurgeon and John MacArthur, these types of men. I cut my teeth on some of this, and I had never experienced any of this type of resources before, and it was like I had taken I hooked my mouth up to a fire extinguisher, just incredible, these resources in regards to who God is, and in light of who God is, who we are. And it was tremendous, Chris, just how the Lord providentially put that man in my life. I eventually actually moved to where he was and went and served under his church for a time before moving to Dallas, Texas, several years later and attending Bible college. It was a charismatic Bible college, and that's where I met my beautiful wife of 20 years. But at that point, I would tell you that I was Calvinistic and really just starting to learn things about the doctrines of grace while going to a charismatic Bible college. And during that time, that particular Bible school actually had some faculty, some staff that taught Calvinistic aspects and doctrine.
Wow.
Yeah, it was actually quite incredible during that time to have several on staff that were Calvinistic.
Can you mention the name of that institution?
Sure. Christ for the Nations here in Dallas, Texas.
Okay, because there was a Christ for the Nations here on Long Island. When I say here, I used to live on Long Island. I'm in Pennsylvania now. But where I was born and raised on Long Island, there was a Christ for the Nations as well.
I believe that, that they did have a school up there, and they had shut it down after a while.
Right.
So Christ for the Nations came out, definitely Word of Faith, came out of the tent revival meetings, I would say that during the time that I was a student in the 90s, there was at least an acceptance of differing views. But later on, and, you know, they had every right to do so, as an organization, they decided that they wanted to reinstitute the old charismatic or Pentecostal roots. And so eventually, they wanted to rout out any form of Calvinism, and that's another story, actually a part of our conversation tomorrow, as I eventually became a staff member at that school, and we can talk about that. But later on, so after I had graduated, I served a church, several different charismatic churches, and slowly became a leader of the church, and as a small group leader. Our small group that we met was in our home became fairly large. And when I say large, we had a small group of a little over 20 people, and eventually got planted out of that charismatic church and became our own church. And all the while, I'm sitting here and I'm studying and we're going through, and I had a desire to teach expositionally, and I just wanted to teach Bible. And so as we're just going through and learning and really just coming to know more about our faith in Christ and the power of the Word, we made a jump to from being charismatic to literally being cessationist, and eventually adopting the Confession of Faith of 1689 and becoming confessional as well as associational. So the Lord took us through quite the process, as you can imagine.
And if you could define for our listeners who are either new Christians, non-Christians, or they're just not familiar with the term cessationist, if you could define that for us.
Sure. So a continuationist, let's start there. A continuationist would be someone that would hold to what we would call the scientists and say that those things are still in place for today, whether that be the gift of prophecy, the gift of speaking in tongues, of healing and interpretation of tongues, those type of things. And so that would be a continuationist. A cessationist view for us is that at the moment that God's Word was completely finished during the first century, that that those things were no longer needed, that God's word is final, and it is everything that we need for life and for godliness. And we can really, I know that our conversation tomorrow will get into more detail on that, and I look forward to that conversation, because I believe that although it is a second-tier issue, it is a vital second-tier issue, and it affects how we view several different things in terms of the intention of the church when she gathers together corporately, as well as individual Christian growth and maturity and the role of Scripture in the life of the believer, and ultimately, I believe, the glory of God. I think that looking at this second-tier issue is crucial in terms of those positions and how it affects those different issues in the life of the church and the believer.
Yeah, in fact, our listeners should mark down on their calendars that you will be returning tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that conversation.
Me too. So I know that a part of your history is that you were serving in the role of a pastor. Tell us how you felt the call, believed you had the call from God to enter into the ministry. I sometimes wrongly, I think, use, as most of us do, the word felt, and I apologize for that. But it is a part of it. I mean, it's not just intellectual knowledge. There is a feeling and an emotion that is attached. But we can't base our lives upon feelings. So tell us about your call to the ministry.
Sure. So it was my intent in Bible college to go into the ministry. And so while there, I served in a local church in South Dallas in Midlothian. It was a really nice little church, and served there, interned there, was eventually licensed for the ministry there, and eventually ordained, as charismatic into the ministry. Eventually took another role of position with another church, like I was telling you, in regards to becoming more like a small group pastor. And this was a unique situation in terms of, now we're going to get into ecclesiology, Chris, but this particular church, what we did is the small groups would meet individually on Sunday morning, and then once a month, all the small groups would assemble together for a corporate worship service. And so it was a very unique small church model. And eventually something that I felt that I couldn't fit into. But here I had been leading a group of just incredible people who really were coming alongside of me in terms of this journey of Reformed theology. And so I'd actually asked, it was during, I don't know if you remember the Todd Bentley revivals back a while back.
Yeah.
So it was during that era, and that really was a dividing line, because I called them out, you know, and spoke, was very outspoken against this teaching and this ministry, and if you want to call it a revival, I was very outspoken saying this is a false teacher. He is not teaching Scripture. I mean, he's literally talking about the angel Emma and getting downloads from heaven and visiting heaven. And so I was pretty outspoken about that, and it became a demarcation, a dividing line, I was still a good friend with the lead pastor of that particular church. We did see eye to eye that it was probably time for me to plant outside of them. And so with their blessing, they sent us out. I believe we had a little over 20 people at that time. I'm not quite sure on the number in terms of exact, but I believe it was around 20. And so it was during that time that I didn't want to be a standalone. And I knew that I was out on my own, and very, very young to, During that time, I had just gotten my hands on this interesting document. You may be very familiar with it, called the London Baptist Confession.
Yes,
1689. I am. And I had Sam Waldron's book, his little commentary on it. And
well, it's not really that little. It's about 10 times the size of the Confession.
It's true. And so I'm cutting my teeth on it, thinking that I'm starting to get a grasp and just knowing that I am just really over my head. And so I had reached out to a local Reformed Baptist church that I knew was confessional, and I was recommended by another pastor who knew that that was the direction that I wanted to go. And it was actually Heritage Baptist Church, where I am a member of now. And so Pastor Larry Vincent and Pastor Jared Downs met with me over lunch and started meeting with me and recommended that I start to visit the local association, become more familiar with the LBC and what that means. And during this time, this is a unique connection, and you'll love this, Chris, is as I'm doing this, it was recommended that I take this particular class that they were going to be offering in December that was coming up, called Baptist Symbolics. And the gentleman that was going to be teaching that class was Dr. Renahan. Well, you think you begin to grasp the confession until you take Dr. Renahan's Symbolics class, and I was truly blown away with his treatment of it, and just how just the care and awe that he puts in terms of the class, and really how it reflects in terms of Scripture. I think that he truly is the foremost expert in confessional Reformed Baptist doctrine in history. I believe that to be the case, and he was very helpful in that. So that's the connect point in terms of me meeting Dr. Renahan and starting to learn more about our confession. Our church did adopt the confession, and I ultimately pastored for just shy of 10 years.
Now we have friends outside of confessional Christianity who wrongly believe that confessionalism is a violation of either sola scriptura, or in a more fundamentalist way of looking at it, the Bible alone as our sole infallible authority. So how do we briefly, because we've already demonstrated in past programs why this is not true, but how would you put our listeners at ease who are unfamiliar with confessionalism, and to dispel these paranoid and false stereotypes that they may have? And I mean, obviously there are people who may abuse confessions and treat them equally with the God-breathed canon, but that's a rare thing, I think. But if you could just explain in summary form.
Absolutely. So we absolutely hold that the Holy Scripture is the only sufficient, certain, and infallible rule of all saving knowledge, faith, and obedience. In fact, I'm taking that directly from our own confession, that right off the bat, chapter 1, paragraph 1 addresses this issue that Holy Scripture is the ultimate authority. The confession itself, you know, if I could say it this way, is a summary of what we believe that the Bible teaches, and it allows us to speak very concisely and succinctly concerning doctrines of Scripture and of God and of salvation and of the church. And so it proves as a wonderful tool, a mooring, if you will, to keep us away from error and false doctrine.
Amen. And it connects us with our brothers and sisters in Christ from the past, going back to the 17th century and even further before that, because they were not teaching novel things that arose for the first time in the 17th century. But it's a guardrail, and it's a sign if a church is departing from their confession that they may be accepting or adopting a novel idea, a heretical understanding of certain areas of Scripture. So it is a important a part of the, I think, the Christian life is to be confessional, and then obviously the confession has to be biblically sound to begin with, and the Reformed confessions are just that, although we would disagree on infant baptism and church polity and government when it comes to our friends who accept the Westminster and the three forms of unity, but those still have much in common with our London Baptist Confession.
They do, you know, and just to know that we have safeguards like this during a time in history where we have so many spurious teachings. We see the attack on God's Word, the attack on the character and nature of God, and even His attributes and who He is. These things are prevalent, and we need to have these safeguards in place for us individually as well as the church corporately.
Great. Well, we have to go to our first break right now. And by the way, before I forget to do this, since the Gospel of John had such a profound effect upon you coming to faith in Christ, I want to strongly recommend a booklet published by Chapel Library, which is a publisher that is very faithful to biblical Christianity and Reformed Christianity, which I believe are synonymous. It is called The Doctrines of Grace in the Gospel of John, by R. Bruce Steward, who just went home to be with the Lord in 2006. But this was really extremely helpful to me, even in my early years of Christianity, in coming to see how biblical the doctrines of grace are. It's just a 32-page booklet, and it's available at chapellibrary.org, chapellibrary.org. The Doctrines of Grace in the Gospel of John, by R. Bruce Steward. We're going to be going, as I said, to our first break. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by His life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and His church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnson and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Derek Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vody Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnson at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call
631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please remember, whenever you're buying gifts for loved ones, go to solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com, because Solid Ground Christian Books is the primary sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and we depend upon them to exist. So every time you purchase a book, or books plural, from solid-ground-books.com, you are helping to further ensure that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio will remain on the air. So remember, for your wedding anniversary gifts that you're buying during the summer, or your back-to-school gifts for your children, or for the children of friends, or people that you know who are returning to school, returning to college, etc., and you're buying gifts for them, or for any other reason, then if it's just stocking your own library, just remember that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends on the advertising dollars of solid-ground-books.com, so place your orders there, solid-ground-books.com. We are now back with our guest today, and his name is Brent Ward, and he is a former Army 82nd Airborne paratrooper and Gulf War veteran, and Director of Development today at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas, who is also a key sponsor of this program. We are discussing Christians in the Military, One Veteran's Testimony and Counsel. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And if you could, Brent, now focus a bit more on your military experience. I know that you had mentioned earlier that you didn't really experience much of a Christian witness anywhere, and of course you gave the caveat that many other Christians in the military do have a different experience than your own. But if you could tell us about that and other negative experiences before you go into the positive experiences that our Sovereign Lord providentially brought to you when he placed you in the military.
Sure. I've been thinking a lot about this, you know, knowing that you and I were going to talk about it. I think that when you have an organization that that you're bringing in a lot of young men that are unredeemed, that are totally depraved, and you put them together, the negative aspects of that is that there's a lot of wickedness, there's a lot of evil, a lot of sin. And so you just have to be very mindful of the organization in terms of, you know, it's a fallen, broken world. And so I just want to be mindful of that fact, you know, that you put these young men into an environment where you are training them to be killers, at least in the combat arms portion of it where I was at. And something in terms of, if you don't have a good moral ethical compass, it could wreak havoc if that's not been tempered correctly. So I would say that would be the major negative aspect of it, in terms of just the immaturity of young men going in, being trained to do some incredible things, really, and at the same time still having the sin nature as being very prevalent in their lives, being their moral compass or the lack thereof.
So can you give us some detail, as detailed as you care to, experiences that you've faced that really were, at least from a human perspective, we know that God works all things together for the good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, but as far as a human experience, what you believed were, at least at the time, detrimental to you?
Detrimental.
And while you're thinking, I'm going to give our email address again. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least city and state, country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And one of the reasons that I'm asking you for more detail is because you had mentioned that after you returned home, after your experiences in the Gulf War, etc., there was anger and dissatisfaction and lack of content, and there was a bit of turmoil going on in your life. And how much of that had to do with your military experience?
Sure. Okay. So that's helpful. I think let's take it historically and kind of move forward, if that's okay, Chris. So my first duty station was Korea. Okay, that's South Korea, not North Korea. At that time in the late 80s, we've got, in terms of combat arms, what you would do is you would serve 90 days on the demilitarized zone, okay? And so most of the time your training was involved in preparing you to be on the demilitarized zone. So you got the MDL, which is the military demarcation line, and on the North Korean side, they're to stay 150 meters from that. From our side, we are to stay 150 meters, but we patrol all along this demarcation line. Okay, that does mean that you do have live ammo. It is real, for our audience. When it comes to the Korean War, you know, it is still the longest ceasefire in existence. You know, we never really had a true ending of that war. And so, anyway, with the demilitarized zones, live rounds, you know, you are going to have those kind of interactions with the enemy. Fortunately for me, being attached to, at that time, the cavalry scouts, What you would do for those 90 days is during the daytime you do a scouting mission, and then at night you would dig in and you would just wait. We really never saw anything. I don't have any really stories other than the fact that, and this was just an experience that I had, is we were hunkered down pretty low, and I did have a snake crawl on top of the back of my legs as I'm in a fixed position, lying rounds on me, and I am definitely afraid of snakes. So that was quite the experience as a 19-year-old young man who had to really keep his mouth shut as the snake crawled behind my legs. But anyway, that's just a funny little story.
A poisonous snake?
I didn't look. I didn't look. So those kind of patrols, as well as the guard post, guard duty type thing right across from your enemy, you know, I guess it does kind of wear on you psychologically in terms of just ever being ready. But I didn't have anything in terms of any negative experience there. I would say that stuff happened in the Gulf. Okay, so after me spending a year there, then I come back to the States and I'm assigned to the 82nd Airborne. It was first the 319, which was the artillery unit. That's a regiment, and we were attached to the first of the 505 PRO, which is paratrooper or parachute infantry regiment. And so, as obviously as a red-headed stepchild, we are attached to infantry and ready to go. So I would say just the thing that comes to mind is that that you are asked to do things that could potentially break your conscience in terms of liberty of conscience. Let me say it that way. There are just going to be things that in terms of orders, in terms of clearing out a building, or what have you, that are just going to be difficult and weigh on you. And I don't think, and even, you know, from a common kingdom standpoint, I don't believe that we have a resource to help soldiers be able to come back and integrate very well in regular society. I think that is a point of contention. I think it's hard after you go through the stresses of the military, and in particular, if you're in any form of conflict. And the stresses involved with that, it takes a little while to come back from that, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And we're going to our midway break right now. It's the longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle because they have to, by FCC regulations, localize Iron Trip and Zion Radio to the Lake City, Florida area. So they air their own public service announcements and commercials during this extended break while we air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely, this extended break. Use it wisely. Not only write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, because the more you patronize our advertisers, the more likely they will remain our advertisers, which means, subsequently, the more likely we will remain on the air, because we depend on the advertising dollars of our sponsors to remain on the air. So please remember that. So I know that many of my listeners, unfortunately, fast-forward through the commercials. I understand the temptation to do that, but please don't do that, because we really need you to patronize our advertisers if you exist, if you want us to exist. So the more you fast-forward through our commercials and ignore them, the more likely we will eventually go off the air. So please try not to do that. Also, write down questions during this break for our guest today, Brent Ward, on his experiences in the military, on Christian subjects involving the military in general. And our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Brent Ward and Christians in the Military.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessialan 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. at BatteryDepot.com. They're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics in Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Pasolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight.
So tons of stuff going on,
yeah.
Tons of great speakers, and no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com. See you there.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And remember, there are two excellent free offers at cvbbs.com. With any purchase, or at least the first one is offered for free with any purchase. The second one requires a $50 minimum purchase. The first book that is yours absolutely free of charge, if you put in your comment section that you want the book, it is True Love by James M. Renahan. Dr. Renahan is the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. And let me give them another plug. Their website is IRBSseminary.org. IRBSseminary.org. True Love, Understanding the Real Meaning of Christian Love from 1 Corinthians 13. By Dr. James M. Renahan. It's yours absolutely free with any purchase at cvbbs.com. And if you want the more expensive book, the hardback also published by Evangelical Press, A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone, which is my favorite of all time biography, you could get that, as I said, for free with a $50 minimum purchase. It's a much larger book than Dr. Renahan's book, hence the requiring of the $50 minimum purchase. As I have said to you many times before, this book, A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone by John Thornberry, is my favorite of all biographies and should be, in my opinion, a major motion picture. It is so fascinating. Should be turned into at least a documentary. Spencer Cone was not only a school teacher and a lawyer and a stage actor, a theater actor in the 19th century. But he was also a war hero in the War of 1812, and then a pastor at a renowned particular Baptist church in Manhattan in the 19th century. A particular Baptist would today be known as a Reformed Baptist church. So this book, I think, should be in the hands of anybody who loves history, especially if you are a Christian, and even more especially if you are a Calvinistic Baptist, or any kind of Calvinist, sovereign grace-believing Christian. So, with this book, you have to add into the cart the book, A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone, and then you have to add the coupon code, Iron Sharpens Iron, all capitals, all one word. You have to add that coupon code into the card as well, and that will automatically delete or subtract the cost of A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone, from your total. Now, that is all very complicated, so if you want to make your life easier, just call them Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231, and verbally tell them that you either want True Love by Dr. James M. Renahan or A Pastor in New York, The Life and Times of Spencer Cone by John Thornberry, or both. So remember, the first book by Dr. Renahan, True Love, you get for free with any purchase as long as you put it in the comments section of cvbbs.com or tell them verbally. And the second one requires a $50 purchase minimum. Before we return to my guest today, I just have a couple of very important announcements to make regarding special events that I hope that you can attend. The first is a debate that is taking place between my friend, Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and Roman Catholic apologist Matthew Luke Broderick on Saturday, September 7th at 6:30 p.m. at the Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York. The theme is the office of Pope biblical? Is the office of Pope biblical? That's Saturday, September 7th, 6:30 p.m. at the Word of Truth Church, Farmingville, Long Island, New York. For details, call 631-806-0614, or go to their website, wotchurch.com, W-O-T, which stands for Word of Truth, wotchurch.com, wotchurch.com, or 631-806-0614. Then, in December, December 19th and 20th, which is a Thursday and Friday, I'm packing up my bags and heading back to my old stomping grounds in New York City to the Foundations Conference, a conference of sermonaudio.com. I love this conference. It is a conference exclusively for men in ministry leadership. That is largely due to the fact that it is a very small venue seating only less than 200 people. So, I hope that you register and attend with me. Among the fascinating and talented and really gifted speakers on this roster are Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, founder of One Passion Ministries, Paul Washer, Reverend Jeff Thomas, Reverend Armin Tomasian, Reverend Richard Caldwell Jr., and Reverend Andrew Quigley. These are all remarkable men, and I've heard four of them speak in person, but have been given the highest of recommendations by SermonAudio.com for the last two, Richard Caldwell and Andrew Quigley, and if they recommend these men, they must be magnificent. If you want to attend with me, that's Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th in Manhattan. Go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com, and you'll have all the details that you need. Then in January, I'm packing up my bags and this time heading down south to the G3 conference. The G3 stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And this is another magnificent conference that has a roster that is very amazing and enviable. The largest roster of speakers I have ever encountered at a Bible conference. This is Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th in Atlanta, or should I say College Park, Georgia. And this is at the Georgia International Convention Center. By the way, if you wonder why I'm sometimes hesitating while I'm speaking, there's a giant wasp circling around my head in the studio. So pray that I can send that wasp to its maker very soon. The roster at the G3 conference this January, by the way, which is on the theme Worship Matters, the roster includes the aforementioned Costi Hinn, the nephew of the notorious heretic and charlatan Benny Hinn. And Costi has renounced his uncle and the heretical theology of his uncle, the Word of Faith teachings that my guest today was raised in as well. And Costi Hinn is now a Reformed Baptist and a cessationist pastor. You heard the ads by James White that he is pastoring in California. A recent change on that is that he was sent by his church in California to now pastor in Arizona. So Costi is a remarkable man. In fact, he's going to be my guest on Monday, the 26th of August, God willing. So mark your calendars for that. Other speakers include Derek Thomas, who is very well known by Reformed Christians globally. James White, who I've been repeating and whose voice you've been hearing in many ads on this show. Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be there. Dr. Joel Beakey, another friend of mine since the 1990s. Once again, we have Stephen J. Lawson and Paul Washer on the roster at this conference. Stephen J. Nichols, the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. Dr. Tom Askell, who is the executive director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry in the Southern Baptist Convention. My friend Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Radio. Vody Balcom, one of the most powerful and gifted preachers alive in the 21st century. And Phil Johnson, my good friend, who is the executive director of Grace to You, the ministry of John MacArthur. And as you have already heard, John MacArthur himself is on the roster of this conference. I strongly urge you to not only register to attend, but if you have a business or parachurch ministry, I strongly urge you to register for an exhibitor's booth as well that you can man, just like I will be doing. Because with the addition of John MacArthur, they normally at the G3 conference have over 5,000 people. With the addition of John MacArthur, which is a recent addition to their lineup, I am very confident to say that I believe that they will have over 6,000 people there. So it's an ideal place to have an exhibitor's booth. In fact, I know that IRBS Theological Seminary has had an exhibitor's booth at this event at least a few times. So if you want to either just attend or register for an exhibitor's booth, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and please always mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio whenever you register or whenever you respond to any of the commercials that we announce. Finally, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please donate as frequently as you can and as generously as you can by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. You could also send in a check via snail mail at the physical address that will appear on the screen when you click support at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please always remember, never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do those two things, because providing for your church and your home are two commands of God. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you love the show, you listen to it often, either live or on the archived MP3s, you don't want it to stop airing, you love the guests and topics that we air that very often are not heard anywhere else, well, if that's the case and you have that extra money above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands I mentioned, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We really urgently need your donations and your advertising dollars as well. If you want to advertise with us, send an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. We would love to help you launch an ad campaign immediately. You don't have to believe exactly as I do, but you need to be promoting something that's at least compatible with what I believe. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Don't forget, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I've already helped quite a number of listeners in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience find churches near them, or find churches for their loved ones in all parts of the world, or to find churches where they're going on vacation. So if you are in one of those categories, please send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line or something like that. And that is also the email address where you can send in a question to Brent Ward about Christians in the military. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Okay, Brent, let's now switch the questions to focusing on the positive aspects of your experience in the military, why you may even thank God that you were there, even if there was much unpleasant things that went on in your experiences. Tell us about these positive things.
Absolutely. So I believe that when it comes to instilling discipline, when it comes to the ability to work with a team, and not just as an individual, but a group of men that are that can come together, laying aside any pride, laying aside egotism, in coming and looking at a particular mission and addressing that mission with surgical precision is a beautiful thing. is quite astounding to be able to see that kind of camaraderie. I believe that in terms of the relationships that you'll establish in the military will be lifelong. These are your brother at arms that you will be in relationship with probably for the rest of your life. And so I think that those are some real positive aspects to it. I don't think that I would be the disciplined man that I am today if it wasn't for the military. So I'm truly grateful for the opportunity to serve. I do believe that while war is certainly not wanted, but unfortunately it is sometimes necessary. I think Scripture is clear in regards to leadership being given the sword for a reason. And I think that war in particular is to protect the innocent and promote peace. And so we're grateful for a strong military that allows us to do just that, is to protect the innocent and promote peace.
Okay, we have a listener who has a question for you, and he knows who you are, actually. His name is Luke from Cedar Hill, Texas. I was excited to hear that you will be interviewing my friend and former pastor, Brent Ward. And he asks, I would love to hear you ask Brent Ward if he recommends young Christians join the armed forces, what his favorite rifle and handgun is, and when we can expect his written recounting of the Panama conflict. Why don't you start with the Panama conflict and give us more details?
Okay, so the Panama conflict, I'm going to make a quick funny. I often get asked, why did we go over to take out Noriega? And the operation was called Just Cause. And so I often answer, just cause. as you are aware, Noriega had some hostages, and he was a dictator there in Panama. And it was decided by our government that it was time for him to step down. And so we were asked and commissioned to go over in December of 89, and that was the Rangers as well as the 82nd Airborne. In that particular sense, I think most of it was the 325, mostly to secure the airfield as well as to free the some hostages and take out Noriega in terms of apprehend him, and I believe he's in a Florida prison, if I'm not mistaken. And so, just because.
And the other questions, do you recommend that young Christians join the military, is the first one.
So, yeah, that is a great question. I think that depends upon the individual. I do think that every young man or even young lady should take great care in consideration in thinking about that. I think that you need to look at your temperament and what you think you can and cannot handle. Now, while in the military there is a great deal of military skill sets, you can do a great deal in terms of job. I think that you do have to recognize that that you may be asked to do things you might not be comfortable with, and I did bring that up in terms of just you are at a moment's notice prepared to have to be deployed for a long time away from family, away from friends, away from loved ones, and if you are in a combat arms MOS, that's military occupational skill set. Understand that you are indeed potentially giving your life for the cause of your country. I believe that if you take these things into heavy consideration, you feel like you should do so. I think it is certainly a dutiful thing. I consider it the same category as law enforcement or a fireman, an act of service. And truly a benefit to, once again, if it's for the protection of the innocent and to promote peace, and certainly a great cause.
And what are your favorite rifle and handgun?
Yeah, what an interesting question. If we're talking about self-defense, and once again, I think that you got to kind of consider where you're at. And the reason I bring that up, it is situational. And first of all, if you're going to own a weapon, I think you need to put a lot of rounds downrange. You need to be very proficient with your weapon. Don't just put it in the closet, not utilize it. For someone like me, I don't live in the country. If I lived in the country, I would definitely have something a little bit larger in terms of size. But my favorite tends to be, I carry a Glock 21, which is a 45. So it's a full-bore 45. The reason that I carry a 45 and not a 9mm is because 45 is not high velocity. And I don't want to go beyond my target. And so for home defense, I would suggest either a 40 cal or a 45 ACP. A 9mm is high velocity, and when you have an adrenaline dump during a high-stress situation like an intruder in your home and your heart is jumping out of your chest, it is very difficult to put a bullet center mass. It just is. And so I do, you know, if you've got a family, you've got children, you really don't want to go beyond the target. And so I tend to suggest that in terms of a handgun. If in terms of I'm going to do another, I would probably also suggest a tactical shotgun, probably a Mossberg 500 or say a Remington 870. The reason why a tactical shotgun and not your larger, say, hunting shotgun is because of the smaller barrel. They tend to run about 18 to 20 inches, a little smaller. And I would recommend a semi-automatic or a pump when it comes to self-defense. And if it comes to rifle, I'm very partial to the AR-15, which is a NATO 5.56. It's very lightweight, compact, has low recoil. And it's, in my opinion, very accurate. And so, and in terms of capacity, I mean, you can hold up to 10 to 30 rounds. So,
are you also offering a marksman course at IRBS, Theological Seminary?
That's a great suggestion. No, I think there's some other men more highly qualified than that, even members of our church that could probably shoot better than I can now. I do have opinions when it comes to gun ownership, and so there's some great questions for sure.
And we did not get an answer about, I don't know if he was serious about the publishing date for your recounting the Panama conflict.
There are a lot of other qualified men that could write that story better than I could.
Well, thank you, Luke, in Cedar Hill, Texas. Since you're a first-time questioner, you have won a free copy of the New American Standard Bible. So please give us your full mailing address so that cvbbs.com, our sponsors, can ship that out to you as soon as possible. And we want to thank the publishers of the New American Standard Bible for providing us these free Bibles for first-time questioners, and also cvbbs.com for shipping them out. So thanks a lot, Luke. We hope to hear from you in the future very often with your questions for our guests. We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, should a Christian ever obey an order that violates his conscience? For instance, if he believes something is truly cold-blooded murder of innocent people, especially women and children, should he ever obey such a command?
Well, that's a great question. The answer to that is no, you shouldn't, with the understanding that if you are asked to do something like that, and I don't believe that the military is going to ask you to do that, but if you are asked to do that, understand, or just, let me rephrase that, if you're commanded to do that, there may be repercussions in terms of the common kingdom. But in terms of standing before a holy and righteous God, that's an easy decision. I don't think you should violate that conscience in that sense, no.
Now, when you say you don't believe the military would ever ask somebody to do that, do you believe that the military...
I do not believe that the military is going to command us to shoot innocent people. Do I think that there may be an occasion where there will be collateral damage? Yes, but I do not believe that there would be an order given to shoot innocents.
Now, you're saying that regarding the 21st century, but what about, do you think that that has occurred in the past in our military?
I do. And once again, I would say as a Christian, don't violate conscience. I think that the military is established ultimately by God to protect innocent, to promote life and peace. And we should be a cause for that, for good and for justice. And when it comes to the murder of innocent people, no, I don't believe that that's something that I would not be able to make that decision.
We have Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who asks, there is a caricature of an Army or Marine Corps sergeant who is constantly spewing profanities and threatening the soldiers with violence, and perhaps even following through on the threats with real violence, and those kinds of things. Is this ever acceptable behavior by someone even in the military?
Acceptable behavior is something that you quite possibly will experience. I don't think you're going to experience physical maltreatment. I believe, and a lot's probably changed since I've been in. I mean, 88 to 92 is when I was in. You're more than likely going to have some kind of verbal mistreatment, and it's something you probably just have to stomach. Those, like I said, it's not a godly institution or organization, and some of those things you're just going to have to reconcile with.
And Christopher in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, asks, as far as a Christian being in the military, there are some that have viewed Christians as inappropriate candidates for defending this nation because they think that those Christians are going to be too soft or perhaps more prone to not be as aggressive or violent as they are required to be. What is your opinion about this stereotype of Christians?
I think that's probably individual to individual. I think that when it comes down to it, a man is going to do what he's supposed to do according to his training. And if he is trained to take someone down, that is exactly what he will do. And it would be for the preservation of his own fellow soldiers as well as the preservation of his own life. And so I believe that you will respond according to your training. And no, I don't think if you've been trained well, you will not hesitate. Any hesitation will prove to be detrimental to your own preservation.
And of course, the history of the military is just filled with great Christians who were true Bible-believing Christians who excelled in their service to this country as officers and as soldiers in the military.
Absolutely.
Well, we have to go to our final break right now. It's a shorter break than the last one, but if you have a question, please send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience.
Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnzen and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Derek Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vody Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnzen at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on firstloveradio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about firstloveradio.org.
And remember, folks, as I have been saying the last few days, please include in your prayer lists, my friend Joe Jackowitz, who is the founder and director of First Love Radio, that was being promoted in the ad that you just heard. Joe Jackowitz, just as a few days ago, was diagnosed with leukemia, and the prognosis is that he has a 70% chance of survival. Now, that may be a better odds, if you will, than a less than 50% chance, or even a 50% chance, but it's still a pretty scary number, 70%. Please keep Joe in your prayers. Please pray that the great physician heals him of this leukemia so that he can stick around for many years to come and help to provide a platform for theologically sound preachers and teachers through First Love Radio, and also everything else he does with First Love Missions and First Love Publishing. He's a dear brother in Christ. Please pray for Joe Jackowitz. Also, please pray for my friend Richard Bennett, the former Roman Catholic priest who converted to Christianity and is a Reformed Baptist evangelist and author who founded Berean Beacon Ministries. According to his wife, he may be near death. At least he appears to be ready to go into eternity with his Lord and Savior and King. Obviously, either news would be something to celebrate, because our friend Richard is a senior citizen, and he's been longing to be face-to-face with his Savior for quite a long time, and he's experiencing discomfort in his life right now through the frailty of age and illness. But at the same time, we would like him to stick around longer, and I'm sure his wife would as well. So just pray that Richard is either healed, or that all who know him are prepared for his departure, including Richard himself. And we thank you very much for adding those two men to your prayer list. We are now back with our guest, Brent Ward, and we only have a few minutes left. Brent, I would like you to summarize in a couple of minutes what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before this program goes off the air.
I appreciate that opportunity. I think the first and foremost, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm grateful for his loving kindness and mercy, and in changing the heart of a crude, rude guy, dude that served in the military for a little while. And so if you can just be mindful, I think that the big thing also is to pray for our servicemen that are currently in, and for those that are on their way out, and to be mindful of how they're reintegrating back into society, and obviously their need for Christ. And so just to be mindful of those things.
Amen. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who asks, how should Christians pray for the enemies of this country?
That is a great question. I think that ultimately that they would come to Christ, that the gospel would be spread throughout. When I think of the idea of, the Iraqis or those in Afghanistan and all these places that are enemies in terms of not just common kingdom, but the enemies of the cross, the enemies of Christ, ultimately their heart needs to be changed. And so I think that our prayer should be that there would be people that would go and preach the gospel to them, and that Christ would show mercy and kindness and change their hearts, and that they would surrender ultimately to the King of Glory.
Amen. And if you could summarize what you will be speaking on tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Yes, I believe that that our discussion is going to be in regards to, or in particular, me coming out of the charismatic movement and going with Reformed Baptist. But what I would like to do is really talk about the nature of revelatory gifts and the biblical purpose of tongues, and how those things really aren't for today anymore. And I think that would be a great conversation.
Amen, I agree. And that's tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, so mark your calendars, set your alarms. Hope to hear from you with great questions tomorrow. And don't forget that the website for IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas is irbs.com. irbsseminary.org, irbsseminary.org. I want to thank you so much, Brent Ward, for being our guest today. I look forward to your return tomorrow. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write in questions. And I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.